But when you can start doing those components and then have the discipline that, hey, I was running at a $500 deductible to 100. All right, Ken, you make sense what you're stating. I'm going to raise the deductible. Well, now the big key is, though, now start taking that difference and stuff it into your piggy bank. Stuff it into your bankosaurus. And so if there is a situation years down the road, it's like, oh, crap. Well, we got a really big claim, and we went from a $500 now to a $1,000. Well, cutting that $500 difference is no problem because you made so much more in savings.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
This is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy B.
Hey, Ken.
Let's talk about something really exciting today.
To offset the budget conversation?
Oh, gosh. I was like, well, budget and... what other stuff I've been just trying to kill my, I'm like killing off all the listeners, I'm afraid, with budgeting, and I dived into insurance, and but I like going with the mood, and so I'm saying Tammy B from now on.
I love it.
So today's topic, right? So last week, I mean, you have to help me a little bit. I was, we were talking about, I just so loved coming back from Park City, the financial symposium. And then I dived into a little bit on auto insurance, et cetera. And we could dive into that a little bit today. We'll keep this one pretty to the point. But we were talking offline on one piece. And so maybe we'll talk a little bit about my coaching style, my education style, and why I just so love what I do here in the financial arena and what I do for my clients. And I think it's something that really distinguishes. Well, you can agree too. You can nod your head, right? As I say this, from a lot of the other advisors in the space. Mm-hmm. So we can talk a little bit about that piece because you like that story. So do you want me to share that story?
Yes, I think that's a perfect analogy to your coaching style and to the effectiveness of your coaching style.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So it was offline, just a random conversation. You're like, wow, you need to talk about it in the podcast. I'm like, really? Okay, I'll talk about it in the podcast. And you know a lot more than me. especially with dealing with other human beings, right? So, we'll talk about that. And then I think I just want to get out of the way. And so I'm going to dive on the auto insurance piece. And so everyone listening, okay. And I have a feeling a lot of people, while they're commuting, right? Trains or in their car, doing menial tasks, working in...
or garden.
So you want me to tell the story about the coaching space? I mean, what I like doing. I mean, on the money space, I mean, I truly do. And I've mentioned this on previous podcasts before, I'm sure. But I really, what I've become, and every day by the way, you so nicely pointed out last week on the podcast, I told everyone, all these advisors that I like and admire, that every day I feel like I know nothing. I'm like, I sure hope all the listeners don't misunderstand that in the fact that, I do. I really do. Every day, I feel like I know nothing. But there's a huge positive to that, which I want to make really clear. With that said, I have a lot to share and teach. And I had this intensity, and I don't know if I mentioned this last podcast, like people, wow, you just seem so laid back. No, I'm not. I'm really driven. I'm really intense in a good way for the most part. And I want the best for my clients. I want the best for the listeners who like me. You don't like me, good. Go away.
Right.
But if you like me, I really want to elevate. I really want to pay it forward. I want to have a huge impact. And it can be applied to many things, but on the money space. And who cares about money except for the fact it gets us the things that we want. The things that are important to us, whether it's legacy and planning to leave just this great amount of energy through money, more importantly, the education for your kids and your grandchildren, or if it's a fun toy or a great sports car. I told that one story of as a friend and a great client, I mean, who went out and he earned that McLaren.
Right.
Right. Now, if I pulled the trigger on something like that right now, my wife would kill me. she knows I love sports cars, but for her, she loves hiking and backpacking and travel. Which I do too. And so, but we all have these things that we want. I mean, truly, I mean, my daughter and my little baby boy, my gosh, I mean, I get so excited. I was teasing one of my clients about a year or so ago, or not teasing, but super nice man, very good surgeon, and he loves toys. And so when I was talking to him, I said, hey, I just bought my son a Ferrari. right? And he was like, look, he likes those kind of toys. He's got some really fun toys. And so then I sent him a text message. It was this little, this is great. It truly was made by Ferrari, but it was like this little, what do you call those that kids like run around in? You sit in them? Like
yeah, walker. No clue.
It's like a walker Ferrari, you know, I don't,
right.
Yeah. So anyway, so, but here's my whole tangent about money and energy. It's just, it gets us the things we want. And so what I so love working with people on is that is getting what they want. You know, they do the hard work. I do the mentorship. And so here's the simple coaching piece. So now I just made it so complicated talking about coaching or what I like to do. So it's, I was talking to Tammy earlier, just saying how when I was a kid, and I probably mentioned this on a previous podcast, you know, I grew up in Morristown, New Jersey during the school year. And, but in the summer, I go down to Annapolis, Maryland. And so I'm right there in my grandma's house. And, you know, I grew up right there on the beach. So sailing, crabbing, I was water skiing every day. And so at 7 years old, you know, my mom, so I kind of joke, hopefully this doesn't sound crass, but I tell people I just love water. I love being around water. And I literally came out of the womb being in water, right? I just loved being out in the Chesapeake Bay. And I think at the time it was defined as the sailing capital of the world. And now I think it's defined as the boating capital of the world. There's so many boats everywhere. And what's so fascinating is I haven't been out to Annapolis in a while, but I took my wife out there so she could see where I grew up in the summers and experience it. And I was like, you want to see something amazing? Look at the price of water at a marina, of gas at a marina. Now, you go get gas like up here at Lake Tahoe, you're paying almost double. Sounds like an exaggeration. It's not.
Wow.
Per gallon for fuel. Well, we're in Annapolis because, you know, it's a lot of economics, more supply, you know, the supply and demand curve. I mean, there's like a gas station on every marina. And so the water, the price of, on the water is almost the same as land. And what's really crazy is the price in Annapolis on the water for gas was cheaper than it is on land in here in Reno, Nevada to get gas. So I don't know who we were talking to a week or so ago. Tennessee's, oh yeah, gas is real high. I'm like, you're like a buck a gallon cheaper than we are here in Northern Nevada.
Wow.
You know, wow. It's really high. So it's all relative. Everything's relative. But anyway, I loved water skiing and my mom taught me so much about boating and water skiing. And my dad was, you know, he'd come down every other weekend or something because he's running this big Computerland franchise and other companies. So, you know, you're after it, you get real busy. So I learned so much and I'm so grateful for my mom teaching me how to boat. And so I love learning and I love improving and I love teaching people all the things I've learned, not by just hearing it, but by doing it every day. And so I was telling the water skiing story or wakeboarding. You know, anyone goes out, comes out to go out on a boat and they want to wakeboard or wake surf or water ski, you know, whether it's like those, oh, I, you know, I've tried it numerous times. I can't get up. And I says, no, it's not your fault. It's just poor coaching. You know, it's, I blame it all on the driver. So if you really, I will get you up in three pulls, I assure you. And so to this day, as long as they want to get up. Now, I have someone that's like a wet noodle, right? Can't push a wet noodle. You can only pull people along that want it. I said, I assure you, it's very simple. I will get you up in three tries. And so what's, and a lot of things are just super simple to do money-wise. So the water skiing story was like, so it's just really two things. Just keep your back strong, keep your arms straight. Those are the first two things I talk about, you know, and then they get up the first try. Great. They did it. But then usually people will bend those arms and then they'll fall flat on their back, get a little nervous. Or there's something other that I didn't identify in those first two steps. And so then I'll say, okay, this is what you did right. Great job. Don't do this piece. Focus on this. And some people get a little, you know, anxious and won't stand up sooner than later. But every time I've gotten people up in three tries. So as long as there's that drive that people want to succeed and do it, Einstein gets credited with this quote. I always hesitant to say Einstein because it seems like everyone is something smart. Oh yeah, Einstein said it. But if you read the quote, that pretty much make things as simple as possible, no simpler. And so that's just my whole thing on the water skiing thing is like, yeah, back strong, arm straight. And then watch that action, see if they got it. If not, say, okay, let's just do this little fine tune here and you'll get it.
To your point earlier, you are humble enough to wake up every day being cognizant of everything that you don't know. So that causes you to be super hungry when it comes to learning. So to the water skiing analogy, you started when you were 7 years old and you just gobbled it up. You absorbed it so much that now you're able to break it down into very simple steps for people to learn. Very similar to your financial coaching.
Yes. Yeah. On the financial side, on the advisor side, it's really so freaking simple. And the part I struggle with, I noticed this, and I hate to say sometimes like an ageism or whatever, but what I noticed, especially guys in their 20s, when I say, dude, you want to make a crap load of money? Yeah, man. I mean, they're way into the cars, way into the motorcycles. I'll go, start with saving 10% of what you make. And you see their eyes just go, really? Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, so it's like, I wish I could get that. Yeah. Save and budget. they want me to say, hey, buy this cryptocurrency and do that. And I was like, man, you just want to crush it. And you want to distinguish yourself from most of the households in this country. Save at least 10% what you make.
Yeah.
Keep sharpening the saw on your earned income, whether it's you as an entrepreneur or your job, and just realize when you wake up every day like myself that you know nothing, and just crave that knowledge and apply it and have fun doing it. But I see that quite often. Now, they're like, oh, that's real boring. Thanks for your advice, Ken. Well, you asked for it. Sorry, I underwhelmed you, but holy cow, the ones that do pull the trigger on that one, and I do have clients that young, is it fun talking to them a year later?
We're
high-fiving it. So it's pretty freaking simple. This industry has made it so, they imply like it's so damn hard. And it's not. No one's dependent upon me. If they just save 10%, they're already way, way ahead.
Right.
You have to hear it. Now, the part where it gets fun, though, is where we start sharpening the saw. It's like, okay, let me just show you a few things outside the normal box. Let me show you a different way to start fine-tuning things with opportunity costs, et cetera. And then it gets really, really exciting. You know, let's do what the banks do, not what they teach. So that was the whole water skiing. So you want to tell me the water skiing story? That was the water skiing. So my mom doesn't listen. My dad listens to these podcasts here and there because I always keep bugging them too. but I know my brothers are listening now because I'll get a text here and there. And so thank you for all the listeners listening. And mom, if you're listening to this podcast, knows. Maybe she's like a closet listener, hasn't told me yet. but anyway, so yeah, thank you, mom. All right. And so it's just great. All simple, sound principles, so easy. And I love teaching it.
You know, people out there listening, I think they can, like you said, they can get overwhelmed by the complexity that a lot of people try to portray the industry as. The financial industry is being very complex and very elusive, and how to be successful in it seems to be an enigma. And I think this is such a profound analogy to the way that you really break it down into very simple components. You next step people with patience as long as they're willing to trust you.
Yeah. Well, so now we're ready to go from fun water skiing and water boat stories to exciting auto insurance. You ready? I got a timer on this.
I'm so ready.
So I did talk about a little bit last podcast. I just want to wrap up, get closure on this, and then we're going to start. We'll do something fun on investment space. And then we're going to start talking about taxes because you really want to increase your wealth and you have a very strong income. Let's start reducing those tax liabilities.
Nice.
That can have such a huge impact on keeping an incredible amount of wealth instead of just passing on to the government. Now, I'm not saying government doesn't need taxes. That's great. But you know, if I have a feeling, everyone I've asked in person or in, you know, an audience, et cetera, I have yet to see one person who wants to pay more taxes themselves. Now, they'll raise their hand for the other guy to pay more taxes, sure. But not themselves. So it's important. And so, as long as we do it legally within the rules. And so I'm going to start talking about different things out there. And I think I'm going to have some really fun trust attorneys come on too and start talking about that piece. Because that's another huge protection piece, et cetera, that I want to talk about. And then we'll talk about some more fun investments as well.
Cool.
Does that sound all good?
Yeah.
So, but always you're going to hear this redundant recurring theme, at least every other podcast, where it all begins with living within your means and savings. or if you can't get that piece, it doesn't matter if you make 50 grand or make you make 5 million a year. It doesn't matter. If you don't save at least 10%, you're done. You're done.
Yep.
All right. Exciting auto insurance. I'm going to take the most boring topic in the world and I'm going to try and make it as exciting as possible. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I gave you homework last week.
Damn it. I was hoping you'd just keep going. No, I didn't do it. You know, and what I told myself is I needed to pull it out as soon as we got off. And of course I didn't. So no, I didn't do my homework.
So I didn't create enough fear for you.
I know you're in Nevada and I'm in Oregon. You can't touch me.
No, it's about you actually touching someone and getting a crash. And then getting you. So typically, and this cross all 50 states, and so I'll emphasize, I am not your insurance agent, so I don't know what you have in front of you, but I'm just going to talk about an overall concept. And so the biggest thing that worries me, like for people, now having a business, that can be a big liability for lawsuits as well, but your car, your toy can become a huge lottery ticket, looking in a negative way for attorneys.
Sure.
And so I'm teaching people to go after all these carrots, how to create a lot more wealth, doing it in a pretty simple yet very efficient way. Shame on me for not saying, look at line number one. So the best thing to understand is you go and call your, if you don't, it hasn't been explained to you, you want what's known as a declaration page, a DEC page, DEC, or which is short for declaration page. You look at that, and essentially what it is, it's a summary of how you're insured, what's insured, and more importantly, how you're not insured.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yep.
So, Tammy, this is your homework. I'm going to call you out on the next podcast on this.
All right.
And everyone else's homework. So, here's the takeaway for everyone. Go get your declaration page.
Okay.
And then look at the top. Typically, it's going to show you in the top line, this is the most important thing to me, is liability, bodily injury for others.
Okay.
And you're going to look at that number, and it varies state to state. Nevada finally just pumped it up finally. Forever, it was based off a law in the 70s. The state minimum. So in order to re-register a car in Nevada and go drive, you have to have a whopping 15,000 each person.
Okay.
So essentially, if I gave the analogy last week, you can stop me because I don't want to be redundant on it. But, you know, and I ask this question all the time. Yeah, you go hit a sheet of ice.
Mm.
You go slide to that intersection, you kill someone's husband. How much is that spouse going to sue you for,
yeah.
Tammy?
Yeah.
And then, of course, I talked about if you're doing it in your Subaru.
Good memory.
Versus, you're in a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
It's amazing what happens. Now, of course, throw a business name on your car, and now you're rich. You're a business owner.
Right.
And watch how fast that turns a loss, especially as like a van. It's got a company name on it.
Yeah.
You know, you could be in some beat up van, you get into a little accident, no big deal. But unfortunately, there's some predatory people out there. You slap a business name on there. It's like, oh, wow, she must be rich or he must be rich.
Right.
We're going to go get justice. And so, and then here comes the lawsuit. So, but anyway, so 15,000, you know, typically you can write these things up to 500,000. For bodily injury for others. And you got to ask yourself, I mean, does it make sense? I have no crystal ball. I don't know if we're ever going to get, if you're going to get an accident, I'm going to get an accident. Fingers crossed, I never had a claim in my life. And I hate paying my auto insurance bill every year. At the same time, I'm not going to let, I'm not trying to advise people to protect from a bad day, but you don't want your whole financial future destroyed. And you want to make things right. You want to indemnify that person that you injured. But I'm telling you, I mean, these things can go sideways, and creative attorneys representing these creative plaintiffs can turn your car into a lottery ticket. And so it might be a simple thing. All of a sudden, oh, this guy's rich. This girl's rich.
Right.
Let's go sue him for $1 million. Let's go sue him for $500,000. And so that bodily injury for others, what makes more sense for leverage or money? You know, if it's a $100 difference a year to go from 25,000 per person or 15,000 per person, now Nevada's 25 is the minimum, and raise it up to $500,000, 400 grand more in protection, what is a smarter way to leverage your money?
Absolutely. Just pay a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, does it make sense to pay? And of course, it varies from state to state, just like the gas scenario I was talking about.
Yeah.
But does it make sense to pay $300 a year for that liability protection for 25 or $400 for $500,000?
$400.
And so it doesn't matter what I think, is what matters to whoever's putting this together for themselves, right?
Right.
And so what's important is it starts with the education. And so, and for you, based upon that scenario, it makes sense to leverage $100 for another $400,000.
Right.
Now, if I had a crystal ball and knew for the rest of your life, you never get an accident, I would say, break the law, don't buy insurance. Well, I wouldn't say break the law. I would say just do the minimum.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just, it's funny when you say break the law. So, but some regulator might not find that funny. So don't break the law. So the next line you're going to see is property damage for others, liability for property damage for others. Now, same principle. Does it make sense to have 10,000 or to pay $20 more a year and have 100,000 or have $500,000? I mean, the difference between 100,000 property damage for others and $500,000 quite often can be like $1 to $2 a month.
Yeah.
What's a smarter way to leverage your money?
Yeah, $1 to $1 month.
I think so. And again, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what the people buying this think. It all starts with the education, though. And you'd be amazed at how poor the insurance industry is educating their clients on this.
Sure.
Now, I can tell you, I was going to make fun of some of these commercials, so I'm not going to. Maybe just because some deer or lizard or whatever, I'm telling you, these insurance companies would be very glad just to cut a small check. But they also, they're all very, the majority are A-rated companies. And so it just starts with education, saying, you know what, maybe 25 grand is not enough. Let's bump this up to $500,000 and I'll pay the extra money insurance company. And so, and they appreciate that piece. But I can assure you, I mean, if you can only write a check for 25 grand, I mean, insurance companies are very interesting, right? They're your best friend when you're paying that money.
Yeah.
And they can also be your best friend when they're making that claim. But sometimes they might not be your best friend, because they're shelling it out. But
right.
But anyway, property damage, med pay. I'm not going to get into a lot of the more details because I've already gone over time. I said I was only speak 5 minutes on this. But that's the number one thing I look at. And then the other thing is uninsured motorists. I mean, you're going to go protect others with this kind of protection. I have found people have the nicest cars. The ones that appear to have, or well-maintained cars, the ones that appear to have more to lose, usually from my small risk pool of observation on the highway, well, I'll ask you, Tammy, and you
yes.
know, we are going to go over time. So just because I don't want to let this go now.
Okay.
When you watch behavior on the highway and you're driving, does it appear to you the ones that have more to lose or less to lose behave better or worse on the highway?
Oh my gosh. I haven't really paid attention. I just noticed that it's getting worse.
Oh my gosh. You're so nice. So since I don't have anyone else to ask this question on the podcast, the typical answer I get is I would argue I represent a lot of very responsible people.
Sure.
And in their observations, it's typically the ones that are crazy on the mm-hmm. highway or the ones like maybe half a mirror is missing.
Oh.
The car is not so maintained. It's like, how in the world does this thing get on the road? The ones that are flying and darting across three lanes at once. Yeah. So that's been my observation. I mean, it doesn't sound so nice. But look at you. You're an angel.
No.
So
I don't know.
You don't notice any bad behavior.
I definitely noticed bad behavior. I hadn't made the connection, but it makes sense what you're saying, that people would be more reckless if they're not taking care of their vehicle. It totally makes sense.
But also it's the point, I've seen some Ferraris and Porsches drive incredibly ridiculously reckless, and they probably have a lot to lose financially. So what do I know? So, but that was those pieces that the whole point was on the uninsured motorist side. It's so important that you're getting $500,000 per person, $500,000 per occurrence, and you're getting property damage of 300 grand or $500,000. Wouldn't it make sense to have that kind of protection for yourself? Those are the important pieces. Now you have components like medical pay. Now you get into the car itself. You have comprehensive and collision. And so those are deductibles. And so I'm not going to get into all those nuances. But the comp and collision, that's if you screw up your car or if it's like a hit and run, essentially, you've got some skin in the game. You got a deductible of $250, you can have a deductible of $1,000. And so kind of my rule of thumb is the more you can self-insure, that's more money in your pocket, assuming you don't have a loss for a long, long time, as opposed to enriching the insurance companies.
Right.
Does that resonate with you?
It sure does.
And so if I can take your coverages and so get you from an example of only 25,000 liability for others and for yourself and uninsured motorists. And we can leverage money in a smart way and get you $500,000. But then starting self-insuring by taking comprehensive and raising it higher to, let's say, like $1,000 deductible. Or actually, I would say typically when you run the numbers, it's such a small difference on deductible and comprehensive between $250 and $1,000, at least in Nevada and California, where I'll help people on auto home insurance. Select clients on that. It makes sense to I don't want to make it confusing to do 250 because it's only like a couple dollars a year difference between 250 and 1,000. With that said, I said any claim for me, I'll never make a claim under a grand. And if you see all the insider seekers, the insurance industry, they all report to each other to one common database. And so if you make some little ding dong claim, oh, my windshield, oh, well, it's free. And so you make another small claim, another small little claim. Well, they all tell tattletale on each other.
Right.
All right. They all have this common database. It's like, wow, so-and-so has just charged me so much money for my auto insurance. I'm going to go call Ken. He's a broker. I'm going to go shop this out and see what it looks like. Well, I go shop it out and all these hits come up. It's like, guys, you're not, look at the price. It's like, wow, that's more expensive than I'm paying now. Well, yeah, of course it is because you're not this huge, highest tier. They don't want you. They don't know you. They see all these losses. So they're not going to put you in the sweet tier for pricing. Right. They're going to yank it way up.
Right.
And so it's like, so you're stuck. And so anyway, that's why I always talk about self-insuring. Let's raise up those deductibles slightly. Am I putting you to sleep now? I have a feeling everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is so boring.
Yep. I'm good.
You are good? Oh, look at you. You're like, I you pull the hook. Should I stop?
No, I think you're good.
Oh my gosh, you're snoring.
I am not.
So now we'll tie it to the collision piece, right? It's the same thing, deductibles. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what I think. If you want to run down $0 deductibles, great. But look at the difference. You raise that to 1,000, you have some skin in the game, start self-insuring a little bit. Take that difference in premium that you're saving now and stuff it in your savings account. Start, become your own little insurance company.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
And there's all these games you can play. It's just so much fun. On auto insurance, gosh, I sound crazy. Like it's so exciting. But when you can start doing those components and then have the discipline that, hey, I was running at a $500 deductible to 100. All right, Ken, you make sense what you're stating. I'm going to raise the deductible. Well, now the big key is though, now start taking that difference and stuff it into your piggy bank.
Right.
Stuff it into your bank of sorts.
Right.
And so if there is a situation years down the road, it's like, oh crap, well, we got a really big claim and we went from a 500 now to 1,000. Well, cutting that $500 difference is no problem because you made so much more in savings.
Right.
So that's the whole game on auto insurance. I just wanted to put it out there. And so I don't have to ever warn that I'm going to talk about this again, but it really is important. And then on the half, on that liability for others, people, well, what's the next step on that? Well, you can pump it up to, and add extra protection with what are known as umbrellas, umbrella insurance policy. So if you don't feel like $500,000 is enough and you got liability in your home insurance, you've got a personal liability, $500,000. Well, you can go out and buy an umbrella. That's not much. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating the numbers. Like, I mean, you could buy like a $200 a year policy, right? This is an example and it ranges for different people, but for another $1 million in protection. And so now you can have $500,000 in your car, an umbrella with $1 million. And so now you got $1.5 million in protection for a lawsuit.
Right.
For a $200, leveraging a $200. Now, if you know for sure you're not going to have an accident, well, don't buy any of it. But if you want a powerful way, your cheapest form initially of asset protection, it always begins with your personal insurance. And so that's my big speech on auto insurance. I'll never threaten listeners again to discuss it. although people do have questions, give me a call on this. I'd be happy to help. I mean, I met some a real estate investment club months ago, and I was talking about what I do in the investment advisory space. And then it goes, oh, by the way, I do help people with auto and home insurance in Nevada, California as a broker on that side. I'm getting lit up by all these real estate owners with insurance questions. Well, why are you guys asking me about boring insurance? You're supposed to help me about money stuff, but I'll answer it. So I'm always surprised. But guys, you have questions on this stuff, I'd be more than happy to help. It's just something I really wanted to get out there of how trying to take the most boring topic in the world and make it as exciting as possible. This is a real deal, and I'm real passionate about it because I got in this industry, and I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, Tammy. You know, I had 25 per person, 25 grand. Mm-hmm. And so my great insurance carrier that I had all my life, because I'm such a loyal consumer, such a loyal client in that space, not once picked up the phone and said, hey, Ken, you probably have way more than 25. And here's why. And so that's my piece, paying it forward to everyone else. It's boring, but understand it, take it seriously, and think about it as a leverage component. What makes sense for you? What resonates? And for some, 25 grand makes sense. For others, 1.5 million doesn't sound near enough.
Yeah.
And so that's my whole speech. And I can't tell you how many multimillionaires I have sat down with that had the bare bones minimum on auto insurance. Mm-hmm. And when I educate them on this and showed them how it worked, and then showed self-insuring a little bit, not only did we like create 5 times more protection, 10 times more protection, but then we also reduced that premium too.
Right.
That's fun.
Yeah.
On the most boring topic in the world.
It's possible.
So, all right, that's it. You guys have a question on it, you know, please go to my website. You know, there's fun things. New website's gone up. It's getting better and better. You can schedule a time to talk to me, or just pick up the phone, 775-624-8839. If you got questions on boring auto insurance, I'd be more than happy to help if I can, to give you better questions to ask your current you know, agent, whatever. If they're online, go ask the salamander, whatever, right? Or gecko, whatever that thing is. But anyway, that's it. Website, engineerfinance.com. My office number is 775-624-8839. And I know I have a big time hook, so I'm going to let to get off. So if you can wrap it up, Tammy.
Yep.
Love it. And to the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you know anyone out there that is confused about their auto and home and would love a consultant and educator, please send them Ken's way, and especially by sharing this podcast. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Ken's Engineer of Finance podcast.
Thank you, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.